Any more prayer requests? All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Well, I'm going to read from John chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 53. And Jesus was dealing with his disciples about this communion. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." It was hard for them to understand. But once they got it, they realized that when they're taking of the Holy Communion, they're actually taking Jesus inside of them. They're actually having the closest communion with Jesus that they can possibly have. Paul told us to discern his body. When we look at this bread, we're supposed to see Jesus in his sacrifice. We see this bread made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible, and Jesus' body is and was completely without sin. And we see this bread beaten and pounded. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed his blood. And everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area. Also, this bread has been slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. And God turned his eyes away from Jesus. And the first time Jesus ever in his life addressed him as God, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he took our sins upon himself. And the world went dark. Because God turned his eyes from Jesus, he will never, ever turn his eyes from you. His body was broken for us. And we're taking this for our healing. We thank you for it. That blood of Jesus is so absolutely pure and void of sin that that blood is still alive. That blood is still pliable. If you could touch the blood of Jesus, it would still be wet. Because there's no sin in that blood. Our blood dries up, but not his. Because there's no death in him. His blood so completely washed away our sins that we can stand in the revelation of 1 John 1:7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Praise God. That's a huge relief from 1 John 1:9. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. Are we having children's church today? Okay. I want you to look here in John chapter 6, verse 61, where Jesus said, "Does this offend you?" His words. He was asking his disciples, "Does this offend you?" One of the things you have to understand is that the Word of God is offensive. It's offensive to the flesh. It's offensive to the flesh. Jesus offended a lot of people. Jesus offended a lot of religious people. He made a lot of people really, really mad. A lot of church folks. He made a lot of church folks really, really mad. He made one so mad one time, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. He made another bunch so mad one time that they crucified him. So here's the thing. People are afraid to offend somebody. I've had people tell me to not tell somebody about Jesus because they're afraid they're going to get offended. Do you know how stupid that is? They said, "Well, we don't want them to get mad." I'm going to tell you, they're going to be mad when they're in hell. They're going to be offended when they're in hell. And then, this is one of the funniest things. I mean, I literally spent years and years and years in AA. There were times I'd go to one meeting a day for years. And then somebody that doesn't know nothing about being sober tells me to not tell somebody that has a problem staying sober, tells me not to tell them how to stay sober. Because I obviously don't know what I'm talking about, and they do. So see, here's the thing, is people are going to get offended. I don't care. I don't care how straight and narrow you walk. I don't care if you walk around in silk slippers. Somebody's going to get offended. I mean, Jesus walked a perfect life and people got offended. The biggest thing is to not be the cause of the offense. One of the biggest things I've ever seen that causes offense is gossip. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said he used to live here, and he told me where he lived. He was asking me if the house was still there, and I couldn't quite figure out what house he's talking about. And I said, "Well, why didn't you stay there?" And he said, "Too much gossip." And I got thinking about it, and I thought, yeah, you know, this town is rampant with gossip. One of the hardest things that I try to get through people's heads, if you hear something about somebody, keep it to yourself. Keep your mouth shut. Just shut up. Because here's the problem. Somebody will come and say, did you hear what so-and-so did? And then you'll take that information, go tell your buddy, and then they'll go tell somebody else. But here's the problem. You got less than 50% of the information that you need to make an intelligent decision about that problem, which is none of your business in the first place. Because if you didn't talk to both parties, there's no way you got 100% of the information. You only got part of it. So when something happens, you know, some big thing happens in town or some big thing happens on a statewide level or national level and people start jumping to conclusions and start trying to tell everybody they know exactly everything that happened. I said, you need to just be quiet. I said, you need to wait until the investigation happens or wait until all of the information comes out and then make your decision. But it's still not a conversation piece for you. I can't even begin to tell you how much damage gossip has caused the churches and the communities over the years. How gossip has turned some minuscule little thing into a huge thing that could have been fixed if people would have just kept their mouth shut instead of running around talking about it. God can fix a lot of things if we'll stay out of His way. But usually somebody will get a hot piece of information and say, okay, they've got to run to their buddy and say, look what I heard. And just spill the beans on what little they actually know. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. It destroys lives. Absolutely destroys lives. It wrecks churches. It wrecks communities. I want you to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Paul is talking about a lot of different things. He said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. That's a terrible list to be found in. But talking about the deceit, the malignity, the whisperers. Somebody will say, you know, they'll hear something and they'll go to somebody and say, you want to hear what I heard? No, I really don't. I really don't, because it's probably not the truth. At least it's not all of the truth. Scripture speaks strongly against gossip. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I should not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. The backbitings and the whisperings, the gossip, is a horrible thing. I had a guy come up to me one time, and one of the things that I take absolutely seriously is confidentiality. Because I know people need to have a place to go. They need to talk. They need to talk things through sometimes. So when somebody tells me something, that's as far as it goes. I take that absolutely seriously. And I had a guy come up to me one time, and he was a leader in a church. And he said, "I need to tell you something." So he told me, and he said, "This is for years only." I said, "Okay." So he told me what he had to say, and I never gave it another thought. That was just it. About a week or two later, he came up to me and he said, "Well, what did your wife think about that?" I said, "About what? About what I told you." I said, "I never told her." And he looked at me like he was shocked. He said, "But that was your wife." I said, "But you told me for my ears only." Not everything you hear needs to be repeated. Because not everything you hear is 100% the truth. Here's one thing I learned early on in ministry. Husbands and wives, they're going to get a divorce or whatever. The wife will come tell me all the ratty things about the husband and then expect me to make a decision. But I ain't coming up with no conclusion on this. Then the husband will come tell me all the ratty things about the wife. So, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "I don't think nothing about this." And they get kind of mad and frustrated because I won't pick a side. Here's something you need to understand. There's always the side that she's telling and the side that she's not telling, the side that he's telling and the side that he's not telling. If you get to all four of those sides, you get to the bottom of all four of those sides, then, and only then, if you're asked to, can you make an intelligent decision about it. I actually have had couples just wage war on me because I wouldn't make a decision for them. I had one guy get so adamant about it, he was on me every time I seen him. And what he was wanting me to do was say, I agree, you should go get a divorce. And I wasn't going to do that. And he was getting frustrated with me. And finally, he just went and got a divorce. And he said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "I don't blame you." And he looked at me like, "Are you crazy?" Because I knew the situation. But I wasn't going to say, "Go get a divorce." I offered him opportunities on ways maybe it could be mended some way or another. I've seen some horrible things happen and God fix it. But it's God fixing it, not me. But the one thing I don't do is run around talking about it. When somebody says something to you in confidence, that's as far as it goes. Amen? Both of those scriptures we just looked at differentiate from gossip and slander. And they condemn it as a result of a depraved mind unfitting for Christians. Christians should not get involved with gossip. I don't care what you hear about who. You need to keep your mouth shut. Maybe God put that person in your life and they gave you some information, maybe you should go pray about that situation. But you're never ever to go tell your buddy, say, guess what I heard. Because I promise you, somebody will say something at the grocery store. By the time it gets to the courthouse, it's a completely different story. It always gets juicier by the block. It just gets worse. So then it gets back to the person that you were talking about. And maybe whatever was going on that could have been fixed is so completely destroyed by that time that it's just the wreckage is too deep to mess with anymore. It's a heartbreaking scenario, and Christians should not ever engage in it under any circumstances. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says, I'm not at place. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's God's idea for us, is to seek peace, pray. When you hear something about somebody, pray for them. Pray. Pray. Maybe you see something. I've seen a lot of things that really look pretty shady. And I think, you know, maybe that guy shouldn't be going where he's going. Or that lady shouldn't be at the place she's at. But that doesn't give me any bullets to go talking about it. If anything, pray. Because you don't have all the information. You don't really know exactly what's going on. Now, if you went and started blabbing it around town, it could destroy somebody's marriage. It could destroy somebody's job. It could destroy their career. It could destroy a church. If you don't have all the information, you don't have any business talking about it. Amen? I always get a kick out of people whenever there's a court case in town. Or somebody will get arrested. And I mean, you can't believe the people that want to hang whoever got arrested or whatever, for whatever. I said, you don't know everything that happened. You got to wait for a little bit and let the case develop and see what happens. And then make a decision. But until you collect all the information that you can collect, you got to be quiet. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies. You'd be surprised at the people I set up in town. Because I just want to see where they stand for sure. But I'll say something around somebody just to see where they stand. And if they're rats, I'll hear about it somewhere else. But if I can tell somebody in confidence, I'll say something to them, and I won't hear about it nowhere else. It's very, very hard to find confidence in a church building. It's hard to find confidence anywhere. But one thing I've learned, and I learned this in AA, is you have to be able to find somebody that you can talk to in confidence that they're not going to say what you tell them. I've found more honor in the AA meetings than I have in the church. That's a shame. That's a crying shame. God wants us to be able to talk to other Christians in confidence so they can work out problems. It's important. It's vital. It's vital for people to be able to talk to each other to try to figure out what to do next, or what they got to do. But people will clam up if they tell you something and then you go talking about it somewhere else. That's it. Then their chance for help has been destroyed. They may never ever say anything to you again. God condemns busybodies who speak about things that are not proper to mention. Things that are not proper to mention are things that you hear where you don't get all the story. If you only hear part of it, you don't know everything. So, say maybe Sally says something. Maybe Sally says something to you about Fred. So then you say, well, man, Fred's a jerk. So then you run in to town or wherever, go to the coffee shop and tell your best friend what Sally just told you. You got to understand something. Now you've thrown yourself into the realm of gossip, because chances are Sally didn't tell you everything. And since you didn't bother to go ask Fred what was going on, you got less than 50% of the information. That makes you look like a fool. And it's slanderous. And that's how people end up in lawsuits. You know, there is such a thing called character assassination, that when you go blabbing your mouth about somebody, that if it's not the truth and they prove to you that it's not the truth, they can sue you for character assassination and you will lose. It happens all the time. If you watch Trump, he just nails them. Every time they raise their ugly head and say something that's not true, Melania got them for a couple million bucks. If you don't know all the truth, you don't know enough to talk about it. So if you don't know all the truth about a situation, you're lying if you're talking about it. Which puts you in a perilous position. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's where we lean on each other as Christians. When we bear one another's burdens, you know, we'll have a challenge in life or something will be going on. We'll need to talk things through. Sometimes when you're talking to a friend, they can help you locate yourself. So they'll go and tell you something between each other, and that's as far as it needs to go. I spend a lot of time talking to people, and they'll try to locate them. You know, they'll be trying to just tell me, and I'll be trying to help locate them. And sometimes it just takes a while for people to calm down a little bit, and sometimes they say some really nasty things to me, some horrible things, in anger. But I don't get offended with it. Because in a couple days, they're probably going to be calm enough to talk, and then we can find a solution. But if you go around spreading that information that they shared with you, then that's going to close all the windows of diplomacy down, and then they're going to be in a worse state than they were before. You know, most of the time, the hot off the information press that you think you just heard is only one page of a 5-chapter series. It takes a little while for everything to come together. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults one to another. So when something happens, you got to talk to somebody. You got to have somebody that you can talk to in confidence. There's healing involved in that. You want to be the one that people can rely on. You want to be the one that they can call and say, I need help with this. So you can pray with them, pray with each other, and healing can happen. And then when you get all the full story where you can have enough information to make an intelligent decision about that, then you can make a decision about that. But it doesn't say anything about going and talking about it. But if you just take part of the information and go talking about it, you weren't really interested in making an intelligent decision and finding healing in the situation. You were more interested in causing a scandal to try to harm somebody. That's a bad place to be. It's a horrible thing to do to people. We don't want to be a part of that. We want to pray for people. We want people to have confidence in people. God calls on Christians to disclose their problems to one another. But it is never, ever right to discuss another's problems with a third party. See, somebody comes up to you and say maybe they're having a struggle with their marriage. Who knows? They come up and they say, I need some help. And they talk to you about it. Maybe their spouse has no idea. But then you take that information and you go tell your buddy at the coffee shop or at the church or at the store or at the post office, wherever you may run into them, and you spread that information with somebody and it finally comes back in a twisted form back to Fred, it could destroy that marriage. It could destroy a church. God's very adamant about busybodies and gossip. Our job is to pray for people. When we hear something about somebody, pray for them. And let the story stop with you. Just let it stop. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. He's telling us not to rub elbows with the gossips. I noticed one thing in the church that I came out of in Wyoming. There would be 300 or 400 people in that church. And that church as a body was so against gossip that when somebody started it, everybody put an end to it right there. We weren't having it. We know what gossip does to a church. God won't have it, and we won't have it in here. We want to be a place of confidence. Sometimes people come and tell me things about people, and it's like, ugh, I just wish you'd shut up. They don't want to know that. I don't believe it in the first place. But I really don't want to hear it. And what difference does it make anyway, one way or another? You haven't fixed anything by gossiping. So I just, there's a lot of stuff I hear that I got to just... let it go, because it's none of my business usually. And I'm usually not in a position to help it out. And if I am, then that's a more serious matter where it's not to be gossiped about at all. My wife sometimes gets irritated with me because she'll hear something from somebody and she'll ask me about it, and I say, yeah, we've about got it fixed. She said, how long you known about this? That's been going on for several months. Why didn't you say anything? Because it wasn't my place to say anything. It was my place to pray. Look at Proverbs 11:13, and we'll end with this one. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit containeth the matter. A talebearer is going to hear something and go blab it around, going to go down here and tell it, and go tell it over there. But those of a faithful spirit will hear something and say, okay. They're going to have an intelligent conversation with themselves and the Holy Spirit. Ask themselves, is there anything I can do about this? Probably not. Probably need to just pray. Pray about it. Pray. You know, the Holy Spirit put that person in your life for a reason, because probably they need some prayer, need some help. So pray. But don't go running around town like an auctioneer with this hot new information you just heard. It will come back to haunt you. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the guiding of the Holy Spirit who teaches us, guides us, shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And Father, we thank you that each time that we look into your word, that we gain more and more revelation and more insight. We find more ways to be led by the Holy Spirit, that it opens up our hearing so that we can hear and our eyes so that we can see, so that we can operate in your kingdom the way you want us to, in a spirit of love, patience, and tolerance, that we can encourage people in their growth, in their faith walk. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have coffee and muffins and snacks back here. Come on back and have some.